Good morning. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church. We're online now, so for those that are maybe hearing this message at a distance or maybe with us here today. I recently took a trip to Montana, and while sitting around in the brand new cabin that we built because the other one burnt down, there were some magazines that were there on the table to look at, sporting magazines and other magazines of different kinds. And I was so entertained by picking up Life magazine. Good morning. Life magazine. And this Life magazine is October 28th, 1946. If you want an education, go back and look at Look or Life magazines, and you will be thrilled, especially our young folks. Me going back, because I was there for some of it, but going back and looking at the ads and the things that they're talking about. 1946. This is a little boy in a one-room schoolhouse, and it talks about the one-room schoolhouse teacher and the six classes that she had prepared for and how she did it. And she was well known for super organized, and they teach each other, and while this one's doing that, and little ones are reading, and the other one's doing some math, and the other one's doing this, and the other one's doing that, giving reports and standing up, and the others are waiting, and all kinds of stuff. But one room, six different preparations in this classroom. I think it was Oklahoma someplace. But anyhow, it talks about that in here. But on the back, how times have changed. And it says in the back, there's an ad on the back that says, "Now, Daddy's got to go to another birthday party, son." And he is around the table, this doctor, with his son having a birthday party. But the pun is, he's going to go help a lady with a birthing situation. So he's got to go to another birthday party. So Daddy is responsible in all these times. It says, so somewhere high in the sky, the stork is racing. But the doctor will be at its destination first. Ready and waiting, whether bringing life or guarding it, the doctor's personal life fades into the background when duty calls. He is on duty every minute of every hour of the 24. But he isn't complaining or asking for any special credit. It's his job, and he does it. Well, what he's advertising, a doctor, why they got the doctor here is, it says, according to a recent nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. I go for a mile for a Camel. So anyhow, this is amazing because we wouldn't hear of anything like this today, any such thing. But all the way through it, it's amazing, these ads. It talks about the DuPont and the wonderful new nylon brush for the lady's hair. It makes it so much more manageable. And all I said, are you kidding me? And so it's amazing. But I want to share something with you. And what this is all about is, if you want to see where we've come morally, if you want to see how we have digressed morally, you might want to get an education in looking at some of these old magazines, because there were a lot of morals then that we do not have now. Why? Oh, because times have changed. Get with it. Get on board. That's old-fashioned type of stuff. Now you begin to touch the old-fashioned stuff, the ancient boundaries of God Himself. So there were more morals. There were more people aware of morals than there are now today. So it's incredible. I don't know if you can get, you probably can go online and maybe pull up this magazine online. I don't know. But here's one about movie censorship. And this is a movie censorship ad. And this is what it's doing. It says, "Thou shalt not." This is the ad. It's a depiction of a lady with a gun over a cop and all this. I'll explain it to you. It says, "Thou shalt not." This is what the movie industry shall not do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got this lady standing over the cop with a Tommy gun, with a handgun, with her top showing a little bit more, with her thigh showing, with booze and drugs and a needle and a cigarette and everything else. So you got a cigarette in her mouth. All the cigarettes are popular. she's kind of, you know, the bad girl here. So anyhow, Thou Shalt Not is a stage photograph made in 1940 showing violations of 10 prominent don'ts of Hollywood's motion picture censorship. And here are the 10 don'ts that Hollywood should not mess with. Thou shalt not show the law defeated. Do not show the inside of a thigh. Do not show lace lingerie. Do not show a dead man. Do not show narcotics. Do not show drinking. Do not show exposed bosom. Do not show gambling. Do not show pointing the gun. Do not show a Tommy gun. And all those things are here in this ad. She's doing all those things. So the motion industry, picture industry, was not to do these things. So boy, how we have advanced and gotten smarter. Oh, yeah. And there's even, not to show it to you, but there's also a clip of something they were not to do, and that was to show violence. And the violence was, and they censored it, this guy was hitting the other guy in the stomach. He was giving him a low blow to the stomach. And they said, no, you can't do that. And so Europe was confused because Europe wanted to do some things. And so they came over here and said, look, you guys got these codes and you got these rules, but you seem to squeeze by them. You seem to get by them. And yet you don't let us come in and show some things. And so it was a little going back and forth here. So what changed? What allowed? Is there a Life magazine today? Is there Life?
Yes.
Okay, there's still Life. So if we were to have a 2013 Life magazine, and show them both up here, look at the ads and look what it shows and what they write about and all, would be, I think, a really eye-opening. Now, Linda, I know you get into a lot of this with the groups and schools and stuff, so you might want to check this out some and look through some of this stuff, but it's just amazing. My son and I were looking at this and said, Dad, look at this article and what they're advertising. And so it's just incredible how far we have come down, not up to moral standards, but come down. And so very, very unfortunate. So today I want to share with you some things about morality, and I want to share something with you that was brought to my attention about a song about a person who has a different sexual persuasion and than what the Bible teaches and what we know to be right by the Spirit of God. But this, maybe some of you have heard this, but I was told by someone that this is a very popular, catchy song, and it's called Same Love. I don't know if any of that rings a bell with anybody or not, Same Love. And it's by Macklemore Lyrics. And this person it's a rap type, catchy type thing. I was told that it's popular, that people like it. And there's a message in here. And so our message today is about the declining morality that I see around us. And we really need to be heads up as the church. And how we react to some of the things that we see is most important. And what did Jesus do in his reaction? But here's the lyrics to a song, or a rap song, I believe, called Same Love. It says, now, this, what's happening here with sexual preferences and all is going way down to our grade schools. I mean, way down there. I mean, I've heard this from different people, way down to our young ones. They're saying and they're declaring that I'm gay, and at such a young age they don't even know what life is all about. So anyhow, listen to these. When I was in the third grade, I thought I was gay because I could draw. My uncle was. I kept the room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you love girls since you were pre-K. Tripping. Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant for those who like the same sex, had the same characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision, and you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predestination, predisposition, playing God. Oh, nah, here we go. man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh, nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know, and God loves all of his children is somehow forgotten. But we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago, I don't know. And I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to. And I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to. My love, she keeps me warm, she keeps me warm. If I was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying, a culture founded from oppression. I just want to say this. I'm reading a lot of things, and it may be going through your mind, where are they coming from? But, you know, a lot of people use the expression, gee, that's gay, and they mean it in a derogatory way. That's what they're talking about. So I'm just reading this. It's kind of a, you know, like I say, a rap type song. But what they're getting at is they're using the expression, that's gay, in a very negative way. And this person says, I'm sick of it, and all your religion and all your stuff ain't going to cure me because this is who I am. If I was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression, yet we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion, gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment, the same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. The holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. And when everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless, rather than fighting for humans that had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. D-right, I support it. And I can't change if I tried, even if I wanted to. My love, she keeps me warm, whatever that's about. We press play, don't press pause, progress, march on. With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause till the day that my uncles can be united by law. His uncles were gay persuasion. When kids are walking around the hallway plagued by pain in their heart, a word so hateful, some would rather die than to be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't going to solve it all, but it's a good place to start. No law is going to change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear. Underneath, it's all the same love. About time we all raised up. Sex. And I can't change, even if I tried, if I wanted to. My love, she keeps me warm. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Not crying. Love is kind, not crying on Sundays. Love is patient, not crying on Sundays. Love is kind. I'm not crying on Sundays. Love is patient. I'm not crying on Sundays. Love is kind. I'm not crying on Sundays. And it keeps going on and on that way about that same expression. So, you know, where we're coming from here is it's the same love. God has the same love for all of us. Absolutely, positively true. Absolutely, positively true. God's love is the same. Recently, we heard a testimony this morning about a young lady who went over and spoke to someone. Did you know where that person was coming from? Did you know that maybe they just robbed the bank? You didn't know that, did you? Did you know if they were a perpetual liar? You didn't know that about them, did you? You just saw a soul, right? You didn't know if they just shot somebody, did you? I mean, you didn't really know that. You didn't know what their sexual persuasion was, did you? You didn't know that. What happened in your heart when you faced that person not knowing anything about them whatsoever? I mean, you had no idea where they were coming from. What was in your heart when you approached them?
Wanting them to get the opportunity to accept Jesus, just because always before when God would tell me to go up to someone, I would always be like, next time. But then this time, I didn't question myself.
Mm-hmm.
I just went. And, just being led like by his love, like it was his love leading me to that person.
It didn't matter how clean they were, whether they were in a nice suit or if they were in shorts or just sandals or dirty or clean. It didn't matter who they were or where they come from or what the background was. I don't think you asked them all those questions before you started to share Jesus with them. I don't think you did. Obviously you didn't. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter who they were or how much sin they were in or how much filth they were in. It didn't matter. God's love goes beyond who you are or what you're doing. It goes beyond that. Now, many years ago, I was getting ready to go to bed, and it's about 12 o'clock at night, and my brother was sitting at the kitchen table. And I said, I got to talk to you. There was such a stirring in my heart. My own brother. And I said, I've got to talk to you. Is it okay? He said, sure. So I began to share Jesus with him, and his response was, you don't know what I've done. I said, I don't care what you've done. Jesus loves you just where you are. I didn't say, expound to me. Tell me all that you've done. I want to know the details. I want to know all that crud. I want to know all that filth. I want to know it all because it's just gossip news. I want to hear it. Now, I didn't even want to hear it. It didn't even go there. I was just sharing Jesus with him. And he said, you don't know what I've done. Well, that night we talked, and I tell you what, all the angels in heaven above rejoiced because that soul gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He hasn't gone back since. He's been on the potter's wheel since, just like you and me. Get on the potter's wheel and don't plan on taking a vacation or going anywhere from it. You can, but you will always come back. You always have to come back to that potter's wheel for the Lord to fashion and shape you into the image of the man or woman or young child he's called you to be. So this, what's happening is, unfortunately, what is happening is, if you share the Word of God to a world that is going a different direction than what the Scriptures are going, they are not going to be friendly toward you unless there's an agreement between you. And we're going to go on from here. So that's the way it is. There's a line drawn in the sand as to our behavior, the way we should be. Now, you can give your heart to Jesus Christ and have still other habits that God is not pleased with when you give your heart to Jesus. But there's where the potter's wheel comes on. He's going to put you up there. He's going to start fashioning and shaping you into that diamond he called you to be. A whole lump of coal, going to end up being a diamond. So that's a process. We understand forgiven and cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus because you cannot work yourself clean. You cannot do it. You never will. You can't work yourself clean. You're saved by grace through faith. You cannot, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. Put them all together. You got to have faith in the living God, in Jesus Christ, that he shed his blood for you. You believe that. You receive that. You drink it in. And you hate it when you mess up after you do that. You hate being you. Someone said, Linda said recently, that your best day with me is when I'm not me. And so I think that's true for all of us. My best day with you is when you're not you. And you know how you used to be. And you know the changes that have taken place in your life. You know that. And nobody's going to cut that out. Yeah, I know I did that. And I hate it. My crazy mouth at times. That wickedness of the tongue, how small a rudder guides such a great ship, and how such a small thing that tongue is, yet it controls. It seems like it can play havoc with the whole body, with the whole thing, of who you are. And so we hate it when we mess up. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to do that anymore. Help me to change and make me into the man and the woman you call me to be. And he will. It's a transformation. Romans 12:2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Do that, and God will make a change in your life, and you will be just like that lightning bug that we thought we saw in Montana. Beep! Beep! a little lightning bug just flashing in the darkness of night, yet you can see him as far as you can see, that one flashing light in the darkness. And when they all get together, it's cool because all the lightning bugs get together and they all illuminate and the whole place is lit up. It's like magical what God did there and the illumination example. So we're in a walk, but just understand this. The church has to be very careful what we embrace and not misunderstand what is happening. And so there can be great misunderstanding that we are inclusive of everybody and everybody. That's true. I mean, somebody could walk in here today. You think, I'm going to stand up here and say, you know, did you just shoot somebody? You know, did you just lie? You've been cheating the last 10 years on your income tax? Yeah, I mean, did you just cuss that person out outside before you came in here? Are you gay? Are you lesbian? I mean, it'd be foolish to say that to anybody. Everybody's welcome. Of course, Jesus says, welcome. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. I don't care what you've done. I don't see any exceptions to anybody, any lifestyle, sexual preference, or anything. But there comes a day that when you do come to him, you need to lay it down and you need to understand what he's saying. This is right and this is wrong. Gee, oh man, I mean, you'd be melting before, oh God, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that. All I know is that somebody witnessed to me the other day and God, I asked you into my heart and I love you with all my heart, and yet you're illuminating something in me that I didn't know. Illumination, I didn't know that. Yeah, I know you didn't, but now you do. You knew it was wrong and you chose to do it, but now you choose to follow me, and I'm going to show you the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to show you that. So be patient. Instead of go shoot yourself over, you know, you don't do that. Now you're mine. And now you got to get up here on this wheel, and I'm going to show you and fashion you into the man, the woman I want you to be. That's why we all need to be patient with each other when we see ourselves doing stupid, crazy stuff sometimes as a Christian. There could be people who are gay or lesbian preference and recently given their heart to the Lord, but it's a promise of God that the Holy Spirit will convict them and show them, and also all things are possible with God. He will lead them out of that darkness into his wonderful light. He won't let them stay there. So if they stay there, then they want to stay there. They're making that choice. We are not robots. We are not puppets. God does not say robotically, you are gay for the rest of your life. And then God's going to give his example of Sodom and Gomorrah, a place that was full of abomination of this type of activity, and destroy them because they were of that preference. God's not going to make somebody some way and then destroy them for being that way. We have a free will here. There are leanings at times that people may have to an effeminate side, but they need to overcome that and cry out to God, and he will make them into the man he called them to be able to pull that bow of bronze back and do battle with the enemy and overcome that. And so let me share something with you before I share something else with you, and that is the principle of leaven. We have used the example in here many times, Linda and myself have. And one time I had someone go back. I'm not going to do it today. This is for something else. But they went back and they dipped a small glass in the toilet. And they brought it back and it was clear. And I had some real good, clean, potable water next to it. They were both clear. And how many of you would like knowing that this one came out of the toilet? Even though it's clear, would you like to drink it, or would you like to drink the potable water? You know, so Satan comes as an angel of light. He's not going to come all dirty and filthy. Here, you want some crud? Drink this crud and you'll feel better. He's not going to do that. He's going to come as an angel of light. It's going to be very appealing. When Satan came to Eve in the garden, he laid out a proposition to her that if you eat this, you'll be like God. I mean, isn't that cool? You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. I mean, that's cool, right? A salesman, you know? It's just... And so, yeah, I guess that's a good idea. Imagination. See, our imagination can go to where something is cool and right. But be careful of who the salesman is. And so our imagination and her imagination went to a place where it shouldn't go. Yes, God did say that we can eat of any tree of the garden, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't. And they made it clear. They made it clear to even Satan. And he says, yeah, but if you do, you know, wouldn't it be cool to be like God? You'll know, you'll have a knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, okay, imagination thought that was good, and they did it, so, you know. So, what will it hurt? Just one apple. What did it hurt? What did that, not apple, fruit, I'm sorry. What difference did that fruit, that bite, that first bite, I don't think they got very far, they just took a bite, that was it.
Disobedience.
And what did disobedience do? What did it cause? What was the case in the Garden of Eden before they partook of the forbidden fruit? What was the case? What was their situation?
They walked in the glory of God.
They were with God. They were what?
In the glory.
In the glory of God for how long?
Forever.
They were immortal.
Immortal.
They were immortal forever. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Well, one day we're going to get restored to what they lost. So they were immortal. So they lost their immortality. They became mortal. From this day on, you shall work and, you know, and in labor and childbirth and all these things and thorns and thistles and all these type of things. And so we see the great fall of man since then. And we see it in the moral issues of our day, for sure. And so Jesus, the second Adam, has come to restore us to that immortality. He's going to give us a new body. He's gone to prepare a place for us. So the immortality that we had at one time, because of his great love for everybody, every soul on this earth, if they so choose, can also experience immortality again, but only through faith in Jesus Christ. And so leaven, a little leaven, a little fruit, a little it won't matter, matters. And so I want to share a couple examples with you. Jesus used these two examples of leaven in the scriptures. And if you can either listen or you can turn there if you want. But the first one is going to be the example that he gives in leaven in Matthew 13:33. In Matthew 13:33, Jesus said... And while you're turning there, anybody wants to turn there, Matthew 13:33, I want to say this. Leaven is used metaphorically in the Bible of an influence that can permeate whatever it touches. Leaven is used as a symbol of either good or bad influence. That's why the Lord says, do not touch the unclean thing. Be careful what you touch. Be careful where your mind wants to go. Be careful, be careful, be careful. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Okay, in Matthew 13:33, he used this in a good sense. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. The action of the leaven in the meal, hidden, yet powerful, relentless, and pervasive, is a symbol of the growth of God's spiritual rule in the world. To pervade means to be present throughout and to permeate. I remember Mom making bread. Number one, it knocked me out, the smell of it. Homemade bread. You just want to eat it like meat. Homemade bread is outrageous. But when it was rising, Mom said, be careful, don't bump it. you bump it, it'll just all crash and fall. I don't know if one of us just one time just wanted to see that and poked it with our finger or not. I don't know. But anyhow, leaven caused it to rise. So that was in a good sense. And then Jesus said, on the other hand, Jesus also used the word leaven in an evil sense to illustrate the fermentation of moral and political corruption. It says, take heed and beware of the leaven or the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew 16:6-12. The leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. I want to bring us up to date with something about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And just recently, to share this with you, there was an article from the Pope Francis, and I have it in our handout today, my handwritten organic handout today, without being fancy today. So, hope you can read the writing. Catholics around the world cheer Pope's remarks on gays and abortion, etc. I want to say this, and look at your handouts if you would. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The Tampa Tribune printed an article on September 22nd,
of this year regarding Pope Francis' remarks on gays, abortion, and contraception. The Pope remarked that the church has become too focused on small-minded rules regarding these issues of today. Many applauded what they heard as a message of inclusion. One elderly Catholic lady said that the Pope was spot on and went on to say, as Catholic Christians, we do need to be more welcoming. Well, I don't know what message you've been hearing, but the message that I've been hearing in God's Word is you welcome anybody and everybody on this earth till the day they die, and you invite them to come to Jesus Christ. I don't care what they have done or done to you or what you have done to somebody else. I don't care if it's murder. I don't care if it's lying or cheating or adultery or fornication or anything else you want to name, or homosexuality or lesbianism or whatever you want to, whatever. It's all together. Sin is sin. So what the gay issue is, why are you guys ripping on us? You know, we're all, God loves all of us. Yes, He does. And I will never preach and rip on somebody that is gay or lesbian. I'm not going to rip on them. We're all in the category of sin. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, Romans 3:23, fallen short of glory. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so God is reaching out to anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter where you live or who you are or what you have done. The thief on the cross is a perfect example of, I like that. Have mercy on me. He knew who Jesus was. Have mercy on me. And Jesus, okay, today you'll be with me in paradise. And the other thief, he died that way as a thief, a crook or a criminal, whatever. These guys were pretty bad. The other one died that way. One gate was narrow, one gate is wide. The narrow way is life, the wide gate is death. All these choices throughout. If you do what I say, you live. If you don't, you die. Disobedience has to have repercussions. And so, This is amazing. Did you pick up on what he said on the first part? It says we've become too focused on small-minded rules. This is a pope that influences millions of people on this earth, not only Catholics, but other people. See, the pope said it. He needs to be very careful that his pontification does not have ramifications that are causing many people to march straight to hell. Small-minded, the Pope saying this about issues that God addresses? Wow. And it says, no one has been more welcoming to the lost and sinful world than Jesus Christ, who gave His life as a ransom for all and said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Matthew 11:28-30. That's pretty inclusive if you ask me. Is that not inclusive? Come unto me. Anybody, everybody, black, white, Chinese, red, Native American, I don't care where you're from, Russian, I don't care if you're Ukrainian, I don't care if you're Bulgarian, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're a former Buddhist or a follower of Islam, I don't care. Come unto me. In a way, isn't it true? Everybody is are God's children. They're either being obedient or disobedient, but they are God's children. And that's how I know Michelle looked at this guy when she walked across the street there to witness to him about Jesus Christ. There was a love and a compassion in her heart, not knowing anything about the person whatsoever. And it's not confusing whatsoever what God says and what we need to believe. There's no confusing whatsoever. We cannot condone anything that God counts as an abomination. You can't condone it. That's pretty inclusive. If one chooses to put his yoke and learn from the Holy Spirit his way, his truth, and his life. So if one chooses to put the yoke of Jesus Christ on them, he'll include anybody. Put my yoke upon you and learn from me. I include you all. Who's been excluded from that sentence? It says, not all will enter the kingdom of heaven, as illustrated in the parable of the marriage feast, as told by Jesus in Matthew 22. Let's look at that today as an example. And I want to share something very powerful out of this Matthew parable that Jesus gave about the marriage feast in Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Very important to understand something here. There's a word that is used here that really nails it. Matthew 22, and starting with verse 1. It's all about an invitation. Matthew 22, starting with verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast." Invited. "And they were unwilling to come." Michelle may cross the street next time or see somebody next time in an elevator or whatever and share Christ with them. And they say, "Well, that's for you, not me." And you may get that response. Be ready for it. And this person says, "No thanks, not willing to come." Verse 4, "Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.'" Another invitation. Do you think that God is sending out ways of invitation to people? Maybe they said no in their early life. Maybe they said no in the middle life. Maybe they're saying no now. But maybe now they'll get turned around. Maybe they'll get the message and say, "Yes, I'm so sorry, Lord." In verse 5, "But they did pay no attention and went their way, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set the city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests." I love that. Evil and good. All of them. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. In verse 11, "But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" That's separation. That's not inclusion into the kingdom. They were invited, but they didn't come. You think God's going to say, "You all were invited, but you didn't come, so come on in anyhow"? I mean, what teacher would stand in front of the classroom teaching and give rules, and the kids just laugh because they're not going to back it up anyhow? Take out your paper and pencil. I ain't taking out nothing. Be seated. I ain't sitting down for nobody. Quit talking. I ain't quit talking for nobody. What are you going to do about it? This happens a lot. "For many are called," verse 14, "but few are chosen." That sounds exclusive to me. Inclusive, but also exclusive. Many are called, few are chosen. And one more powerful example I want to give us today before we close. I want to give you one more powerful, powerful example. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, we're talking about the narrow gate That's not the example I want to give you, but I'll read that right now because it's part of it. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be who find it. And so you see there's a separation there. Not everybody's going to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But everybody would like to go to heaven. That's not going to be the case. I don't see it right now, but I wanted to give you the example of the rich man that Jesus addressed. Jesus addressed a rich man. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "You know the commandments. You know, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself and do all these things." He says, "I've done all these things. What else do I need to do?" And Jesus said to him, he was addressing him, and he said, "Sell what you have and give to the poor." And he was rich, and he said, "Well, I don't think so. This is the bottom. I don't think so. I can't do that. I don't love you that much." And so he left. But in the scripture that I wanted to give you, it said that Jesus loved him. This is very powerful. If you can read that reference, find that reference. I don't have it from me right now, but I know that reference. And it says that Jesus loved him even though he was leaving. Even though he said, "I've done everything, what must I do?" Jesus told him, "I can't do that," but it said that Jesus loved him. Now, if there's a person who has a sexual preference that I'm witnessing to or talking to, and they do not have God's preference for a man and a woman, you know, that it is a man and woman that should marry, not a man and a man or woman and woman, and there's no gayness with God at all. There's no room for that. If that person were to be in my presence and they were to leave me after not believing me, God's word, I still have a love for them, even though they do not wish to follow Jesus Christ. The love of God is there. How many of you know someone? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you know someone, even those who may be listening, know someone that has come out of the closet, so to speak, and say that, you know, "Hey, I'm gay. I do. And our military is cool with that. Don't ask, don't tell, and all that kind of stuff. But it just, everything. Our president has endorsed gay marriage. Our Pope is now saying, "Let's back off. Let's be more inclusive." So you see tremendous sodomy laws falling. As someone said many years ago, like the autumn leaves. Laws are falling. They're legislating. I want to ask you a question. Can you legislate morality? See, the legislators are saying it's moral now. It didn't used to be, but now it is. Forget the Bible. We're going to legislate morality. It's okay now. It's moral. It's just, you can't help it. You can't help it. It's the way it is. It's automatic. You've been predestined for this, which is a lie. And there's Satan. There's Satan right there with them, encouraging them to believe that it's okay. In the last page of your take it home, yes, there are rules, ancient boundaries, established by God Himself, and most assuredly they are not small-minded rules. God's words are words of sober truth and need to be obeyed in the strength of the Holy Spirit. When we come to Jesus and receive Him as Lord and Savior, He will equip us and enable us to overcome all of our ungodly ways and habits and transform us into His glorious image. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Remember, there is inclusion for the faithful and obedient and exclusion for the unfaithful and disobedient. What about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man died and went to heaven, and he was in torment. Lazarus, the poor man, was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man in torment wanted Lazarus to touch his tongue and give him some relief with quenching his fiery ordeal. And Lazarus said, there's a gulf between us. We can't do that. And he said, well, if they don't believe, if that can't be the case, then have somebody go back from the dead and preach to them. They'll believe that. And he said, no, they have the law and the prophets. If they don't believe them, they won't believe me. Somebody should come back from the dead and preach to them. And that's true. God is reaching out to multitudes today. And I think time is running out. I think we're going to come to a point in time when the ark, the door of the ark will be shut, just like it was with Noah. And only 8 people on the entire earth at that time got into that ark with the animals. Only 8. How many were there? We don't know. But there's a lot of people on the earth at that time. Only 8 got on the ark. God shut the door. And how long is it going to be till that door is shut again? And there will be. Cast them out from the wedding. They don't have their wedding garments on. They're not dressed. They don't have their life covered with the blood of Jesus. They're not saved. Cast them out. They don't have their wedding garments on. There'll be weeping. What does the Bible say? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. So not everybody's going to go to heaven. Few there be. And you know what I'm going to rejoice in today? I am one of the few that have come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm one of the few. Am I perfect? No, but I serve a perfect God. Am I cleansed and washed in the blood of Jesus? Yes, because of my confession and hopefully by the fruit of my life that I do want to live for Him. But don't think that you're going to perfect yourself to be perfect and you don't need Jesus. If you're going to perfect yourself, you don't need Him. So don't beat yourself up when you fall or fail or that tongue gets you in trouble. Daggone lieutenant, daggone whatever the ranks are there in the Coast Guard. Hey, do that one more time. Pow! Yeah. Whatever discipline we're in, who's ever rule that we're under, they're people, and they're going to be people, and they're going to say stupid things, and they're going to act like stupid people, and they're going to do all these type of things. But you, as a child of God, understand, put it in your hopper, let it all go through, digest it by the Spirit of God, and crank out the love of God, the wisdom of God to this world that is lost and hurting in a lot of pain. A lot of people of the gay persuasion, a lot of people that are of that persuasion are hurting. They're hurting. And even though they might say to you that you're homophobic, and you know you're not, you don't have to say preach all day long that you're not. Just live the life, and you don't have to say, well, believe me, I'm not homophobic. Yes, you are. Your old Bible, that ain't the same God that I serve, because the God that I serve loves everybody. And amen. You got that right. He does. And so that's not the issue, is it? Because we're not just talking about the gate. We're talking about liars and cheaters and murderers and everything else. It's all that's what Jesus is talking about. And the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. All those things are all together, along with the sexual crimes. Thank God for the testimonies that we have. I used to be, but I'm not now. Now, here's a political cartoon that is so powerful. It says, there's a great big ocean wave. I wish you could have technology do this ahead of time. It's a big ocean wave. And right up on the ocean wave is the Supreme Court. The ocean wave is holding the Supreme Court. And the wave is like this. They're on top. Like, whee! What a ride. And it says, all those in favor of stemming the tide?
It's too late now.
All those in favor of stemming the tide, what joker are you is going to stem this tide and be very popular in a world that doesn't want to hear what you have to say, you Supreme Court, if you have any moral morality about you? Isn't that incredible? So the Supreme Court is going to go along with what's going on, what the people want. And that's how the politicians go. They're going to go along with what the people want. America's in trouble because America's democracy. And you can get people of different persuasions to be judges and legislators and senators and everybody else and presidents and everybody else. And then they can sway the people, get into our education system and say, Johnny and Mary, you know, this is what's up with mom and dad these days. Unheard of. Unheard of. All right, now, to close, those of you that may be listening, I have 4 little cups here, 4 little cups in my hand. And each one of them has something in it that
something in them that three of them are not going to do it for you. One of them is. I've shared this with you all before, and I gave this illustration. But you've just been bitten. Rattlesnake, brown snake, cobra, I don't care. You've been bitten with a venomous snake, and you are going to die unless you get an antidote or antivenom. You will guaranteed die. Oh, you got bit about an hour ago. In this particular case, rattlesnake, it wasn't too big, but he's powerful enough. He's going to get you, but you will die in an hour. So you spend 45 minutes coming to my clinic. I'm the emergency room physician. And you come in and say, how long ago did you get bit? It's about 45 minutes ago. Well, it took about 10 minutes for you outside. You got about 5 minutes left. So what do you want? I got Coca-Cola. You want to drink a Coke? Do you want tomato juice? Or do you want some orange juice? Or I have an antidote for you, antivenin, that you will live. What do you want? You want Muhammad? You want Confucius? You want Buddha? You want you? You? You want yourself? You want to figure this out? But I'm the emergency room physician, and I'll tell you what, I've got it right here in this vial, and I can inject you right now if you want to live. And that antidote, it's got Jesus on it. Yes or no? You got about 2 minutes left. And you know what? There will be people. I've seen it. No thanks. Going to be just like the Unitarian Universalist. They believe they're going to find out when they get there. And that's the excitement of it. Yes.
You're
wrong. Wow. Now, I was going about my life, doing my thing. You know, goody two-shoes type of thing. You know, that type of person. But not really walking with Jesus Christ. And I said yes to the antivenom. I said yes to the antidote. I said yes to Jesus. I don't want to do me anymore. I want to do you.
Amen.
I want you to give me what you got for me to save me forever. Beginning right now. Because when you're born of that woman that gave you birth, you will never die. You will have a different body, but you will never die. And that's eternity. And you need to think about eternity. Anyone listening to this message today, you need to think about eternity. Anyone of a gay persuasion, or anyone that is a murderer, or cheater, or liar, or unforgiver, or anything else, you need to think about a life, a real life, and give your heart to Jesus Christ. And He will set you on that potter's wheel and mold and fashion you into a man, a woman, or a child that you have always, that He's always wanted you to be. Give me the antidote. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I want to say this again. I say it all the time. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Why not do it now? Why not do it now? And know you have an assurance of salvation rather than later and die in a car wreck within the hour. As far as I'm concerned, we've all been bitten with the venomous poison of Satan. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only way you're going to live now, we've all been bitten since Adam, the only way you're going to live is through the antidote, Jesus. Yes or no? We got a hearse outside for you, those who say no. We got a glory train for those who say yes. The long black train or the glory train? What's it going to be? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Anyone listening to this today, if you're a Christian, then I hope you've been encouraged. We need to base everything we say upon the Word of God. We cannot compromise. And there will be love. There will be love to the very end. Jesus told a rich young ruler that he loved him, and he went and did what he wanted to do. And also Judas, who came to kiss Jesus, and this is the one. This is the one you want. Jesus didn't hate Judas. He loved him. And he was very disappointed and sad that he made that choice. Woe be unto the man who betrays the living God. God bless you. I hope you take it to heart. I hope this has helped today in some way shed light on God's true love and the difference between inclusion and exclusion and who's included and who's excluded. God bless you.